Mr. Harris, Reel 2. We've got to the point where you joined the DLI at Thetford, you said.
That's right.
And this was the 16th Battalion.
16th Battalion.
Durham Light Infantry. You went straight there. You didn't go to Bransworth first.
Well, I had a couple of days in that area. I was booted out. Yes, I went to Bransworth to learn how to march properly. At a light infantry pace.
But you'd already learned that.
You'd already learned that. But anyhow, we had to do it with the regimental sergeant major. And he had us all lined up and marching madly about the barracks square.
What did you think of being sent to the Durham Light Infantry? You'd asked for your county regiment, and here you were in the Durhams. Did you mind at first?
No, I didn't. I thought, well, funnily enough, this pal of mine who I've lost touch with now.
Bradley?
Always Bradley, always used to. Henry, I think you're getting commissioned into the Durham Light Infantry. So I said, who are they? So he said, well, they're tough little miners, 0.5, and they speak, they're Geordies, and they speak a language that's very difficult. Which I found to my cost. But I wouldn't have wished to have been with a better crowd.
Did you?
Incredible.
Why did he think you'd be sent to that? Was he just joking?
Well, he was just joking.
No real reason.
No, he was just joking.
And what about the accent when you first got to Bransworth? Because it can be, it was worse then, or better then, whichever way you look at it, than it is now. How did you find it?
I'm not used to it now, I suppose, after many years, but I had a platoon sergeant, jabbered like nobody's business at me. I couldn't understand him to begin with, because it was sort of a foreign language. And my backman, I couldn't understand either. I used to say, Jack, what the hell are you talking?
This is your Batman when you actually got to Thetford, is it? What sort of a reception did you get when you joined the battalion then? At Thetford? They made you welcome.
Oh, yes. We were out on limbo. Two companies were out at this place, Shadwell Court, which I think is now Lockdoom's training establishment. There was a lovely lake there, trout. We used to go fishing with grenades. A highly lethal operation. Not to be recommended, really. You know, shrapnel flying all over the place. But lovely fish. Lovely fish.
Who were the characters in the mess at the time? The colonel, would that be Murray, you said?
He was, yes, the colonel was Colonel Murray.
What was he like?
He was, as a sort of second lieutenant, he was sort of God. But he was a Grenadier Guardsman. God knows how tall and how thin. But he eventually became, I think, a paratrooper. And ended up as a major general. And I think, I don't know whether it was, I was telling you the story, but somebody read a letter from him one day, so this is some time ago now, in the Times, I think it was, where he mentioned the fact that when he received his posting to go to Norfolk to command a light infantry battalion, and a Geordie one at that, he thought the end of the world had come. But again, he said, I wouldn't have wished it missed it for anything in the world. They were the most incredible people to work with. Full of humour. And they had a sort of sense of humour.
Now, what company were you put in? Don't remember. Do you remember who your company commander was?
No. It was on his face.
But you were just in a normal rifle company.
Yes, there were at Thetford. this for the federal court, there were three companies billeted there. I think it was three. Yes, three. We shared the suspension.
And what sort of training were you doing at that time? There's quite a bit of mention in the history of brigade and divisional exercises. You know, boxer, princess.
Very big army exercises as well.
Do you remember anything about them?
Not really, except walking miles and miles in the dark through cornfields.
So for you, it was just being moved about.
Yes.
What about your weapons training? Had you had weapons training, or did you get it with the battalion, or had you had it at Barmouth?
We had a bit of it at Barmouth. Learning about various weapons. It's also...
It's all right. So, now they moved about during 41. They went to Yarmouth for a while.
Right.
Remember that at all?
Yes, yes.
And beach defence. You were doing some of that, according to him. That was in July 41.
At Yarmouth?
Yeah. And then on to North Walsham, Worstead Park.
Oh, yes, yes.
Where you were defending...
I don't remember that one.
Defending aerodromes again.
Oh, yes, yes, we did. We had... one of our jobs, particularly looking after planes that didn't quite make it, crash, killed the jets. We had to guard planes from inquisitive people. We had to pinch things off them.
And you were settling in well, as far as you're concerned.
Oh yes.
Now, in November 41, they moved to Kent.
That's right, to Rye.
What do you remember of that?
Well, that was my home. You know, I was in Kent, and I knew Rye very well. And all that area of the marsh.
They had you going, in the book, as going to Shorncliffe first. It's very close, anyway. Do you remember?
Yes, we did that.
But you remember Rye better.
I remember Rye. We had one of the foresters, I think, the foresters were at Hawkhurst, the DLI were in Rye, which is a delightful place.
And you were still with the rifle companies at this time?
Yes. Brigade headquarters.
Now, when had you been transferred to brigade headquarters? Or to put it another way, what had you been transferred to do, and how had you been selected?
A liaison officer. Brigade had three liaison officers, one for each of the three battalions. And our job was to carry messages from the brigadier, particularly the action that was going on, messages from the brigadier or the brigade major, to the CL. First of all, to try and find the CO to begin with, which wasn't all that easy, and deliver the message and come back with anything that the CO had to say and report back to the brigadier.
Now, what was wrong with the telephone? Do you see what I mean? Why an officer to do that? Was this for when things broke down, or was it?
Well, that's how it was done. I mean, the telephones were a bit sort of airy fairy. Lines could be broken. It was actually getting the personal message over to the CO and or vice versa, and bringing it out to the CO.
Now, so you don't know when you started doing this. We'll not worry about that. But you were doing it by the time you got to Rye.
Yes.
I'm presuming that's where brigade headquarters was.
Just outside of a place called Wittersham.
And who was at brigade headquarters? What was the composition of brigade headquarters? Who was that then? Was that?
Oh, Chichester Constable.
What was he like?
He was a rifle brigade man. Very nice chap, really. Always had to make sure that he got whiskey to hand. I was PMC. Always had that sort of job.
I'll come. I will come back to that. So, you've got the brigadier, and then who else? Who would that be? And what was their job?
He was something to do with Baroda, you know, the great people. That's where he came from. And then there was a staff captain.
Now, what did the brigade major do? What was his job?
He was the admin chap. He was directly responsible to the brigadier, really. If there were any operations orders to be got out, he would get them out. Send them out.
And then, below the brigade major, there was a
staff captain.
And what was his job?
He was more, he was again an admin chap, but more to do with supplies. You know, we had a supply officer at the Army Service Corps. And the staff captain, really, his job was to make sure that the supplies got up to the line and that sort of through the camp known as the Brasco. Then we had somebody who was in charge of the transport officer. We had a signal officer. We also had two chaplains attached to us, who were delightful characters. One was called Joe Fury, was a Catholic, and the other one, the CA, was a chap called Ted Meek. And they were like that. I know once I put Daryl Fury's, sort of his flock, on fatigues. He stole me up to his Henry. What do you mean by putting X, Y, Z on fatigue? So I said, well, everybody has to take their turn. He said, I'm not interested in anybody else. You will not do that again. I want to see them at mass. But he was a wonderful character for the party. We were stationed one time outside Beirut. And,
I'll come back to that because that's running ahead a bit when the thing. So they were attached to brigade, were they? Because Meek was.
Sorry, who?
Meek and Fury. Because Meek went out to the DLI, didn't he, later on?
Yes.
I'll come back to some of the stories about them when we get over there. Right? So anybody else attached to. Or what else made up brigade headquarters?
Well, as I say, the signal officer, the officer.
Intelligence?
Oh, yes, there was IO. Yes, it was about it,
and were there any sort of defence staff or.
Oh, we had a defence platoon.
And where were they drawn from?
I don't know, they just appeared eventually when I was there. We had a platoon commander. They were drawn from various units of the brigade, I think.
So that you were in just outside Rye, and what sort of was your life like then during that period, your duties?
Oh, Rye. I always used to get odd jobs with brigade headquarters, and I was landed with the job of Home Guard Liaison Officer.
And what did that
do? I had to go around visiting all the units of the Home Guard and see that they got what they wanted and the peculiar things that you set light to and blew up things that came along the road. And I used to visit them. The snag was that Monty at one time went mad and had a lot of. No, I think it's in the book. Night exercises. Everybody had to do night exercises. course, I had to do it because I couldn't get out of it because I had to go around all these home guard units. So I spent half my time. I used to get a bit of sleep at times. So that was my job, really, to make sure that they cooperated. And I liaised really with the battalion headquarters.
Were you aware of the auxiliary home guard, the auxiliary units, the secret ones?
Oh, yes.
What do you remember of that?
Well, I knew a couple of farmers who were great friends of mine, who I used to help harvesting. And they eventually let on to me about it.
But, you didn't know from your job as home guard liaison, though?
No.
So you were dealing with the open home guard that everybody knew about. What did you think of the home guard as a military unit at that time?
Well, they were working under extreme pressure. They didn't have any rifles. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. Well, like me, at one time in the year, today, overcoat. I had to use an ordinary officer's Macintosh. Did I tell you about that story? We were stationed in Gravesend on the Attic side there, and the battery commander used to let us go up to London for an evening out. And there was me and my pals. We were walking down gestures in London, came to some MPs. "Hi, soldier, come here." "Sir, what are you doing wearing a trench coat?" So I produced a piece of paper that authorized me. And he looked at it and said, "God almighty, what are we coming to now?" And he said, "Well, you better be careful, because in case you get picked up by the SID or something, they might ask you some awkward questions." And I said, "Well, I've got my proof that I am what I am. I can't help you if I haven't got an overcoat." Often a sort of take care.
Now, so you were on this, any other special jobs? You mentioned president of the mess PMC. What did that entail?
Well, if you were PMC, you were responsible to make sure that the catering was all right for the mess, and that you always had sufficient liquor in the bar, that sort of thing.
Was it a hard drinking brigade headquarters, or you know, there's hard drinking and there's soft drinking?
No, we enjoyed our tipple.
But nothing untoward?
No.
Any other special? You said you had some special jobs. Anything else given to you during? I mean, while we're in England, this is at Rye.
No. It'll probably come back to me when you've gone. My wife will say, "Did you tell me about this, that, and the other?"
Do you remember how the Durhams were viewed within? I mean, you were at Durham, but how were the battalion viewed within brigade headquarters? You know, there's the 2nd, 5th Sherwood Foresters, there's the Leicesters, and there's Durhams. Were they rated? What did people think of the three battalions?
Well, I think we all got on. The COs got on wonderfully well together, and they got on wonderfully well with Chippy Block.
When did Block arrive?
Well, he arrived out of the blue.
Was it while you were in England, or...?
No.
I'll come on to him. What about before that, then? How did they... I mean, when you were in England, were the battalions rated, or... I mean, or just all as much of much as... Did you... I mean, would you have thought the Durhams were the best, or would you just...
Well, I would think so, I suppose, but...
What about now? In November, you got orders 41 ready to get ready for mobilisation. 42, sorry. Do you remember any special efforts to get ready for mobilisation? Because you went up to Camberley for a while from Rye, or rather the battalion did. You may not have done.
Yes, we did go to Camberley, that's right.
Do you remember anything about the getting ready? Did it much extra work at brigade headquarters?
No, not that I know of. As liaison officers, we had a very high when things were getting a bit cloudy, you'd get on your motorbike and go off somewhere out of the way.
Which bikes did you have?
Oh, gosh. I had a Norton.
Were they reliable?
Oh, yes, they were very good.
Did you enjoy them? Could you ride before you joined the army, or did they teach you?
I was taught in the army at the Octu.
Now, what about would you have embarkation leave before you set off?
Yes.
Remember anything special about it?
No, I remember going home with funny things. I took my Wellington's home. I think my father tweaked what was on London really quite good. I'm sure I never told them.
And then you left from Liverpool. Anything about the departure or?
New Year's Eve.
Christmas Eve?
New Year's Eve.
You remember, yeah.
I think it's in the book.
It says Christmas in the book, but...
Oh! Well, then probably it was. I remember...
It doesn't matter, you may be wrong, you know.
I was sailing by our boat and saying, Happy Christmas or Happy New Year or whatever it was. We were on the Derby ship, I think it was.
What were conditions like on board?
Well, we had, it had just arrived from America with thousands of Americans on board, where they used to of course, it was very dry. You know, we wanted something to drink, but it was all, they had dry boats. If we used to manage to get a drink that they gave from somebody. Probably one of the senior members of the crew.
What about the conditions for the men? Oh, we
as pretty great, you know, weren't they? You're down below. Hammocks. That sort of thing.
And what about the trip? Where are you off to? You were going to North Africa. Anything about the trip?
No.
And what about when you got to Algiers? I think you got there on 3rd of January,
43. Yes, we went to a staging area.
What were your first impressions? I mean, your first...
Steady place. Bloody wogs. I wasn't particularly impressed, but one accepts those sort of things.
And you went to the transit camp, I think that was near Maison Carrie.
That's right, yes.
Eucalyptus or something.
Yes.
And
lovely, lovely orange trees in the garden. You know, picking orange and eat it all cold. Lovely.
And then about 10 days later you moved up.
Quite.
to the Sedgemoor area. Now, where were you? Because the Durhams went in on to just in front of Green Hill.
That's right.
Now, where was Brigade Headquarters?
Might have been. It was always a hazy do there because the Germans suddenly did a counterattack, which caught us all on one leg.
Yeah, that's the Battle of Sedgemoor, isn't it?
Yes. Where was Brigade Headquarters?
Now, what do you remember about the? I mean, there was a period of about 6 weeks in the line. I don't think that's it. I don't think you recall that before the battle. Anything you recall about that?
About what?
The period of 6 weeks in the line before the Battle of Sedgemoor.
No, I don't.
That's fine. Now, what?
We had a commander unit.
Attached to the brigade?
Yes. They were very independent, particularly the CO. And they seemed to have a game not for publication, but they seemed to appear to have a tame German with them who did all their interpreting, particularly with Arabs. He could speak Arabic. I remember the commander of the CO saying, as they mentioned to me about this, pointed out. Just one of those things that happened with ships at night.
Now, what about Sedgemoor itself? I mean, now, because
very hazy.
There's a perception that the brigade didn't do very well.
No.
Could you comment on that?
I'm very hazy about the whole thing.
I think a lot of people were at the time.
Yes.
Sorry. Well, what do you feel about the battle generally? I mean,
well, I know, to be perfectly frank, very little about it apart from the Germans' counterattack. I was unaware really of what was going on at that time. How serious it was, the fact that our gunners had to leave their 25 pounders, spiked or whatever it was they had to do, which.
How did you feel? I mean, did you know that the brigade hadn't done terribly well?
No, I didn't.
Were you doing your duty? Were you going backwards and forwards to the Durhams and such like during the period, or are you just not?
I seem to remember I just hung about at the time. I am very hazy about that time. I'm sorry.
That's all right. What now? Preston arrived. Johnny Preston arrived on March 10th, I think, which is during halfway through it, really, or
yes,
during a bit afterwards. What were your initial? I presume you'd have to meet him as liaison officer. What were your initial impressions of Preston?
Well, I can't remember whether he'd been G1 at six. I think one would say that he knew where he was going. A very likable man.